Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. That is our number. We'd love to have you join us. If you prefer email, that's fine. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. You know, I really didn't know what I wanted to talk about this week, which is really odd because, well, honestly, I was supposed to be on the phone. I wasn't supposed to be here. We were supposed to be heading up and spending some time with family in Spokane. We should be there right now and calling in. But she got COVID. Now, she's fully vaccinated and got COVID and can't smell anything. In other words, she has symptoms too. So, again, this is a world we're going to be dealing with this in a long time, and it just didn't seem like it made any sense. So we turned around and came home. And so what I mean, though, is that you kind of have time to think, you know, when you're driving and things like that. And I really didn't know what to share, and then it just, like, struck me. Because right now we're in the doldrums of summer, right? It's like, oh, we just hit an all-time high. I don't think you tune into this program to hear me tell you what you already know. Market hit all-time highs. But how about a little insight? And so I was thinking about it, and then just nothing really struck me that it was like, you know, where it just feels like it just oozes out, right? I just want to share it with somebody. And then it was like a bolt of lightning. It's like, this is it, because this is what I need now. I need to be thinking about it now, okay? And that is this. What makes a great investor? We touched on it last week, right? That's probably kind of the genesis of where it came from. And that was, what are we thinking about right now in the markets? But it's really, it's a combination. Excuse me. Great investing is a combination of thinking super long term. If you will, like John Templeton, even generationally, beyond your life. Beyond your life. That's how long term, right? So we had a call a few weeks ago and talking about, well, really the market's only reflecting inflation. Not even close, right? It's not. It's good to reflect on and to wonder why. And after inflation, does gold work? Barely. Do bonds work? Yes, a little bit, surprisingly, right? Do stocks? By untold magnitudes over long periods, a couple hundred years is what we looked at. We'll look at shorter periods today. But I think there's really about four things, and I don't want to get away from the 10 investment commandments that I'm always pounding on, right? And they're on our website. You need to go see them if you have never seen it. Not because I'm commanding you to trade and invest that way. No. Mm-mm-mm. They're my rules. I'm just sharing them. They're my rules for me. They're my rules to keep me from getting arrogant when things are going well. Oh, you don't think you know, nobody thinks they're arrogant, of course. Why would I think I was arrogant? That's not me. That's somebody else. That's somebody else. When we are thinking about how our investments are going and we're having a great year, don't we all get a little bit sure of ourselves? Don't we get that way? We get a little bit sure. And we think we're going to do great, and we maybe push it just a little bit. And those are the reminders we have to have, right? So don't get me wrong. I'm just thinking of it in a different way and more of a, like, what are you thinking about now type of thing? And trying to find that balance, because that's what it is to me, is a balance between long-term thinking, hanging in there. I mean, after all, there's been 19 bears and 19 bull markets, right? In my investment lifetime. 19. So the next bear market that everybody wants to jump out of a window about, that the press is going to be hyperventilating about, is just another who cares event. It'll be number 20, followed by number 20 bull market. It's a fact of investing. And at the same time, when we're really thinking about that balance, we also don't just buy crummy companies that aren't doing anything and talk about long term. The best thing of the last 40 years to not own would be airlines, like ever. You went bankrupt twice with United Airlines. Just stay away from bad industries. So we have to think about it, right? We don't have to play the dangerous trading game of what's working right this millisecond. You hear it every day, right? You hear the boneheads all the time. Well, everybody moved money over into consumer discretionary stocks today because they're feeling really great about the future. And then today, tomorrow, whoosh, we're worried about, you know, Delta variant or something like that. And we all went into defensive issues. If you're a computer and you're just trading and you're programmed to trade that way, then fine. But that's what they call, like, keeping up on the market or watching the market. It's not watching anything. It's confusing. It's stupid. It really is. It's not something you're going to learn anything about or anything from except, wow, I don't even know what the heck's going on here. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, if it makes sense to you, I'm sorry, but you really need to see a shrink. It doesn't make sense, okay? Not unless you're a trading computer. It makes no sense. Now, of course, the wizards of Wall Street that like to comment on everything and make millions of dollars commenting on things that are never right, they'll explain that all to you day after day and hope you'll keep watching. But we have to balance that, right? We got to take those trends and balance it with what the long term. I have to keep my fanny in the chair. Don't try to overtrade. So we have to look at those. And when I talk about the trends, I'm not talking about cyclical trends. Like, here's what's hot. Here's what's not. We really need to get involved in Bitcoin. Let's just say Bitcoin. Why? I don't understand it, but, you know, everybody's buying it and they're talking about it and stuff. Okay. Well, they were talking about lumber. Did you get involved in lumber? It did hit an all-time high. It did double in price over a short period of time. Did you get in time for it to be cut in half? Because you probably don't know anything about lumber either. We don't have to hit it all. And maybe Bitcoin is huge. But if you're really wound up about the latest trend, okay, then that's a different trading philosophy than what I think works. Chasing the latest hot thing doesn't work. It really never has. Buy high, hope it goes higher is really not a long-term strategy. So we want to blend the two tenuous things, right? We've got long-term, overriding our thought process, but we want to be thinking about things like cybersecurity, long-term, the Internet of Things, 3D printing, all the wearables, autonomous cars, like it or don't, autonomous buses, all those things, flying cars, they appear to be coming. All those things are trends out there, right? Electric vehicles, batteries, all these things. We want to understand those, and we need to have money in front of those things. Not chasing, understanding that biotech, genetics, these are drivers in the future. But I'm not a scientist, and I don't know what to do, and that's the beauty of today's world. We have exchange traded funds. We have mutual funds run by people that understand these things. And you can put a portfolio together of biotech companies. So you're taking a shotgun approach. It's something you know is going to work and not a rifle approach that. Most money in biotech is all gone because it doesn't work. But overall, that's where we're going. right? Genetics the same way. How about robotics? All those things that we have to be thinking about and putting money in front of, that's not a short-term cyclical trend. It's secular. And the way we can do it, and that's the beauty of today, we can do this so easily. We can do this without knowing much about it. And so what are we thinking about every day, right? And I'll come back to this. What we're thinking about is where the world's going. Not what the market's doing. You got to get away from that. What's the market going to do? How do you really feel about the market? Is it think too high? Should we be getting in now? Yes. Yes and yes and yes. Everything is, yeah, it's high. Everything's high. We want to put it in cash? That's the ultimate zero or infinity P.E. ratio. Price to earnings, right? I get nothing. And I lose money guaranteed to inflation every year. Great strategy. I can buy a 10-year treasury at 1.3%, slightly less, but let's call it 1.3. And I can guarantee in 10 years I'll get back less in real dollars than I put in today. But stocks are too high because I have to trade it today. I just really don't want to own Apple. I don't want to own Google here or Amazon here or cybersecurity, robotics, 3D, 5G. I don't want to own any of that stuff right now because it's all too high. Too high compared to what? We've been told this for thousands and thousands of points. And I get it. But that's why we have to be thinking about that balance of long term and what is going on right now in front of us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We got to take a break for Fox News. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, give us a call at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I know we had some glitches on the phones last week. We have a retro outfit here now. I recognize this one from years ago, but we think that the new phones will work fine. So 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You know, it really dawns on me, and I'm going to continue on this over the next few weeks, I think. But one of the things that really strikes me is that in my investment lifetime, we've had 19 bull markets and 19 bear markets. I know, I just said it. But just in case that didn't go, whoa, seriously? 19 times the market's gone down more than 20%? Well, I don't know if I want any part of that. Uh-huh, right. Yeah, you do. Nothing compounds money faster than the beautiful, amazing, creative destruction that is the U.S. stock market. Nothing compounds like that. 19 times. That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. So when we think long term, we have to really think long term, because all of the news, everything is hyped up to get you to trade, to move, to be afraid. You want to hide your money. You can't put it in a Wall Street casino. Otherwise, you're going to get rich. And I'm not going to make a giant commission over here. We run to fear. We run to it. Tell me what's wrong in the world. We don't run to opportunity. We don't run to optimism. We don't. We have to somehow move our way to that. The world is relentlessly negative, relentlessly telling you what's wrong. In fact, statistically, since the early 1900s, are you ready for this? Only 5% of all the days, 5% are at all-time highs in the market. 5%. That means 95% of the time, human beings think they've lost money. It's true. So 19 out of 20 days, we are not at all-time highs. We're down from that. And how do you think about a portfolio as a human being? I put in over the years, I put $100,000 in my 401k, and you know, I looked it up, and it shows I made contributions of $100,000. And then it went clear up to $800,000. And then right before I retired, the market, I lost $200,000. So now I've only got $600,000. Do you think anybody says, well, you put in 100, now you've got 600. Yeah, I made 500,000. What do they always say? What I just said. I lost 200. So from this all-time high bar, everything else is terrible. I lost money. No, maybe we all got rich. It just might have been worth a tiny bit more yesterday. Maybe even after a bear market, a lot more yesterday. Doesn't mean you lost. You gained less than you thought you did a little while ago. Calm down. It's not a loss. But when you listen to, you got to buy gold because the world is going to end. You got to buy an equity indexed annuity, even though I know it won't work. It's okay, because I'll tell you all about how you can have market participation and no risk, even though it's not true. It's not market participation when you cap rates at 2 or 3%. It's not. I've given so many examples, and go to our website. We've got a link there to a little dissertation about what equity index annuities are and why they won't work. But fear sells. And so when we only think of these short-term moves of like 19 bear markets in my life, and then we forget about the 19 bull markets. The other thing that I forgot to say is since 1916, with only 5% of the days hitting all-time highs, that's a 25,000+% gain. 25,000%. This is all about just getting our brains right. It's ridiculously simple. It appears to be, for human beings, ridiculously hard. Because all you have to do is put money in, walk away, put a little more in, walk away, put a little more in. Just behave. Well, I don't like the stock market. Why? What are you, a fool? There's nothing to not like about the stock market. The average person can put $50 away. A cup of coffee a day for 40 years is $1.1 million. Nothing has done that. Nothing has that opportunity. Nothing's come close. Nothing offers average Joe, you and me when we were starting out for sure, the opportunity to put a few bucks away and compound it into a fortune. Nothing does that. Can you buy a commercial building for $150 a month? No. Can't even buy a house. You can buy a piece of the greatest companies in the world for $50 a month. And by the way, there's no cost to do that. Like literally. No cost. Pretty amazing. But I don't like this stock market. Okay, whatever. What you're really saying is, I don't want to learn about things. I've already made up all my mind. That's it. I've already made up my mind. That's it. Don't try to tell me anything new. Don't want to learn. I'm shut down. I only study on things I already agree with. Okay. That's what long-term is. Long-term compounding over time is absolutely magic. Everything bumps around. If we overreact to it, we miss it. So balancing secular trends. People are living longer. People are getting better and better medicine. Genetics are coming into play, creating new vaccines. With actually, because of new technology, with old technology. I guess this has been around for and tried for 30-some years. Handled in a year. I don't like the policies that are going on right now. Long term, this is not good. Not good at all. I mean, it's crazy what we're doing. We're trying to make sure that you can't evict people. We give them more money than they make by working. And they don't have to pay rent. Why the heck would they? On what planet does any of this make sense? And spending all of our descendants, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, future is immoral. But we do this. And we call it whatever, the new human something or whatever, infrastructure. It is crazy. It doesn't take away from the fact that we need to think long term and we need to keep our money in front of both. Long term investments, owning the great companies of the world, and also having some money in front of those obvious trends. And quit getting caught in the day to day, because there's always something to worry about. There always is. Always. But if we buy and own quality and we try our best to stay away from the constant negative discussions all the time, people are so angry. They're just so angry. It doesn't help us in any way. In any way. All right, we got to take our final break this hour. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Give us a call. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. And also, and here's an email, of course. Let's take care of that right now. How many positions should I have? How many positions is too many in my portfolio? What is the average number of stocks, bonds, ETFs, and funds do your clients have? Thank you. Thanks, Phil. Great question. Okay, this is actually a little more of a complex answer than just saying 20, okay? I think that the number of stocks a person should have is 10, 15 tops. And the reason why is because individual stocks have more, if you will, monitoring to do, right? You got to pay attention to their earnings and projections and things like that a little bit more than you do. And also, this number varies depending on how high quality you focus on. Okay, if you're going down into lower quality things, you have to watch more closely and should have less. But that's the stock piece. Okay, that's, and if you will, let's kind of put a portfolio together and say I'm totally fine with, let's call it 10 stocks. That seems about right. Most portfolios probably have about 10 in our it, for us. Okay, and they have anywhere 6 to 10, but 10, 2 to 3%. Or 20 to 30% total there, okay? So 20 to 30% in individual stocks with about 10 positions. Now, if they grow too much, you should be trimming some of those back. And I don't mean if it gets to 3.3%, you have to trim Apple. I mean, it just, if things are still looking good, let it run a little bit. But you don't want to have 10% in one company, right? So As we're taking your great question and saying, what about the rest? How can you follow so many positions? And the answer is you don't have to. You're not, I mean, you need to follow the stocks, but now I've got so many of these other things. So how many different mutual funds do you have? I don't know, 5 to 10? But why? Why so many? So let me talk about that individually real quick. You have to have managers that know overseas. You're not going to know overseas. So if you want to diversify into emerging markets, developing foreign markets, maybe even growth and value distinguished, because there are some good growth opportunities outside the United States. ASML, sure, you can go own it, but I think by and large, you're going to own those things through mutual funds outside the United States, and there's no real ability for you to put a portfolio together that way. So I think you want to do that. And what about some on the income side? There's so many things out there with structured notes and things like that that you really can't do. But there are professionals that can in a mutual fund and keep it at a much lower risk level. Okay, so there's that piece there, and that's going to be probably around 40%. And then you want ETFs, exchange-traded funds like we talked about, many of them thematic, right? And some of them, it could be like in energy yielding more, or clean energy that are in utilities for extra yield. So I would say you'd want at least 5 or 10 of those in your portfolio to round it off because they're thematic, and you don't want to miss out on the thematics, okay? All right. I got a roll here for news at the top of the hour. Maybe you want to talk more about that. And on the other, hello, good morning, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO, dave@petsofinancial.net. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only, and they're not this station, broker-dealer, and we're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. That's the opposite. We want to think long term. We want to understand the secular trends we're in. You know, graying of America, development of technology, all of those things. But we don't want to flit here and there. The world drives us to do that. It does. And I understand. I feel the same way about things. I'm on top of things. I'm a, you know, kind of a Marlboro man kind of guy, self-made guy. I got control of things. But you can't beat it into your head all the time. You can't have constant negativity coming in and be positive. You can't. You got to have some positive inputs. You got to shut down the negative. We have to. We're not above that, no matter who you are. And I know people think they are. I get it. It's a natural human tendency. I got it. I'm covered. I got it. But we don't. I mean, the only thing you have to do in my whole lifetime, my dad's lifetime, my grandpa's lifetime, and et cetera, is behave. That's it. You don't flit here and there. You put money in the market. And you leave it alone. And you win. Yeah, but what do you think about? I don't know anything about it. And I don't have to know all of it. You know what? I didn't own Starbucks. Still don't. I thought a cup of coffee was pretty easy to make. Missed it. That's okay. I got Amazon, Google, Apple, Facebook. It's okay. It's all right. Sold my Netflix too early. Oh, stupid. So stupid. It's okay. You never get the top. You never get them all. You're going to miss a bunch. And if you don't understand where or what, a lot about it, you don't have to. Buy the S&P 500 and go home. It's just not a hard thing. Not a hard thing. But we make it hard. And the world makes it even harder. It grinds us down. Makes us think we need to get involved in options. I do some options. They're hard to do. And you have to have such super self-control. I'm going to call it experience because I don't want you to think it's like just like, well, I'm super self-controlled. You don't fully understand how easy it is for people to get carried away in options and putting too much there, levering up the portfolio too much. It's easy to do. So be careful in all those areas and know yourself, and you don't even have to be involved in that. It's not important. And that's really the guiding thing of thinking long term. Do I really have to know about options, futures, Bitcoin? Do I have to be investing in gold or thinking about it? Or lumber futures? Worrying about inflationary hedges? Not really, no. You need to own the great corporations of the world. Let creative destruction carry it, and you compound money faster than anything else on the planet. By so far, it's not even close. But we don't do that. We think we're smarter. We move money more quickly than we should. I kind of like this kind of a combo stat here. I'm going to throw out and kind of for us to think about. See, the Dow has only been positive 52% of the days. 52. Okay? So, barely, right? Barely more than half the time. It's positive. On a daily basis. The average daily return is 0.73. Now, the average daily return, when it's down, is minus 0.76. What that factors into is this. God, it's just amazing. The Dow has compounded since 1970. This is since 1970, okay? By 3,000%. 3,000%. And the compounding is 0.03% a day. 0.03. 3 basis points a day is all the market on average gains. And that gives you 3,000% since 1970. And yeah, that's a lot faster than inflation, FYI. It's amazing. It works so well, but we turn it into some kind of, I got to do this better. I got to learn more here. What about that seminar over there? Or the market scares me. I just don't like the market. Why? There's nothing not to like about it. Nothing. I mean, unless you're talking about short-term money. Like, I'm going to put this in for 1 year, and then I'm going to take it out. Well, that's not a good idea. Because that might be one of the 1 in 3 years that's negative. Could be. And then it's awful, and you can curse Wall Street for all that. Okay. I get it. It's different. You feel like you need to understand it a lot. And you know what? That's one of the reasons you're listening. I know, because you're trying to get more information, and that's good. And more understanding of what it is. And what good investing is. Because it takes a lifetime to really understand a lot of these little things. But the truth is, and even sometimes, it takes a lifetime for most people to even understand the basics, the basic truth of it. Own the great companies and leave it alone. And quit fussing about it. You won't learn a thing by looking at your statement. You won't learn a thing by watching what the market does on a daily basis. You won't learn a thing. Nothing. Nothing. But it can cause you concern. It can push you to want to do something different, which is the one thing you don't do. We need to behave. So I've kind of come up with these. I already talked about a couple of them, right? These things that I think that I just want to talk about over the next couple of weeks, right? So if we think long term, and I've just got piles of stats, right? So we'll talk about that, throw a few of those in there, you know, all of those things. Because it's not always good. Markets go down periodically and will most certainly happen in the future. So we have to think long term. We also have to, as we talked about, have money in front of what's going on secular. We really do need to. As there was a great email. And hopefully we'll just take some more time to talk about construction of a great portfolio. We talked about it last week. We'll keep talking about it. And that is how many positions and what kind and all that good stuff. It depends, though, of course. Are you looking at growth? Are you looking at income in retirement? All of those things In other words, build a portfolio to what your objective is, right? But how many positions is a great question. Super great question. I think some of those positions need to be, even in an income portfolio, with the mind of what is coming secularly. What are we in? We're getting older, yes. Right? Robotics. Artificial intelligence. Cybersecurity. Genetics. Biotech. All that stuff. Money in front. Maybe telemedicine, right? Lots of things you can think of. You don't have to be first out of the gate. This is the one the example, if you will, that I love to give. Maybe because I don't know. It just sings to me, maybe. Something. It just really, to me, is the crux of it all. Because it's like 12 years ago. Apple came up with the iPhone. And it was beautiful. It was totally different. Revolutionary. I'm one of those guys that had the old CrackBerry, you know? You push the buttons, you curse it every time you use it. Every single time. You hate that device. Hate it. It is unusable mass of crap, is what that was. Replaced by the iPhone. All you had to do was look at the iPhone and go, oh my gosh, that's beautiful. I remember the first time I saw it. You've heard the story. I won't bore you. It was beautiful, intuitive, easy to use. Absolutely going to be a home run. Game changer. This is not a new company. You didn't have to catch Apple at, you know, pennies, nearly bankrupt 5 years before. After you saw the iPhone, Apple is up 30-fold. That is a compounding of wealth for something that's right there. So my point being is we don't have to be like, well, have you heard about this brand new space thing? Okay, you can invest in space if you want to. I think I'll wait till I have a better idea of what the profitability might be of space. But you can, and I think we're going there, and I think there will be something there. But you don't have to be cutting edge. You don't have to go out and pick the biotech company that's going to come up with Alzheimer's. You don't have to pick it. Have it be part of the ETF or mutual fund you own. That's what I mean by secular. You don't have to pick the one. And we can see what's going on. We don't have to be futurists to say, yeah, we're getting older, we're living longer. It's like we talked last week. Of all the lame brain things that you need to use our brains, we got to think. And think about how stupid the news is sometimes. That the story comes out and it says, life expectancy goes down. And your reaction should be, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That's somebody making up numbers. That is so stupid. We're not living shorter. It's just not true. And I'm not a futurist. I'm not a bio whatever you want to call it. We're coming up with all kinds of medicines, all kinds of things to prolong life. We know how to treat people better, catch their diseases quicker, repair them when they get in a terrible accident. We're not dying quicker. And of course, thank goodness, somebody spotted it. The Wall Street Journal spotted the idiot thing and at least published something to give us some statistics that are real. We need to recognize that for whatever reason, people are bombarding us with stupidity. Always negative. Always. And we have to see it, right? So as we're putting this together, looking at our portfolios, it's not that you just deny that things are out there. There are things out there. But we have to recognize, is this really going to kill us? Is this really going to end something that has existed far longer than I've been around, creative destruction? So as we think about that, the secular trends, and we think about owning quality, which is another one I want to touch on. Quality meaning, I didn't have to wait, or I didn't have to catch Apple when it wasn't a quality company. It was nearly out of business. You don't have to catch it then. And I'm not saying you can't speculate with part of it, but the problem is a lot of people speculate and then that floats over into the other side and they want to trade because they're actually liking gambling and they don't really want to go to a casino to gamble. They do it at home and it doesn't work out well. No gambling. This is serious business. This is your serious money. You want to gamble? You take another chunk of change. You go to the craps table. You play. You have fun. You get a couple cocktails. Life is good. But that has nothing to do with making money. Nothing. Owning quality. And own it. Don't trade your Apple. The only way you got a 30 bagger is because you owned it. You didn't trade it. Every time that everybody told you Apple was never going to sell an iPhone for $1,000. Or the iPhone 4 wasn't as good. Or Samsung was going to kick their rear. That's owning quality. Owning companies, not listening to the noise. I don't understand why this is there. I don't understand that. I don't understand this or that. Okay, that's fine. I don't want to proudly be a dinosaur. That's already in me. I don't like certain things. I don't like social media, but it doesn't mean I can't own Facebook. I can hate Facebook for what they do. I can hate the fact that I think society is dying, that social media destroys people's lives. Their self-image, they get bullied. All those things are real. And I don't have to play. But when you have billions of people looking at it, I don't have to understand it. Except there's a billion eyeballs looking at it every day for a long period of time and freely allowing ads to just run in their face. I don't have to play. But these trends are there. And if we're looking at quality, you don't have to buy them when they're IPOs. Just buy quality. And don't gamble. Own these great companies. All right, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's time for some phone calls. Let's ring them up. We'll be right back. Welcome and thank you for joining us. Hey, let's ring them up, huh? 580-KIDO. Last week, as a matter of fact, it's funny. Last week, we had, I don't know, three or four calls coming in. We couldn't get them on, right, because the phones didn't work. Now we think the phones work. Pretty sure they work. And but we actually need some people to try them out, so we do know that they work. Okay, so it's 580-KIDO. I appreciate it very much. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Okay, so I want to finish up this thought, and then hopefully we're going to have a bunch of calls as we finish up today's program. I've been running through about four things. Okay, and one. Long-term investment overrides everything. You have to think like that. We have to think like that. The world doesn't want you to think like that. It's rare to think like a John Templeton, multi-generational. You know, great memories like David. He's turning 90 years old, and I got to meet him and see him and spend actually over an hour with him in the Bahamas. And he said, I'm going to be on Lewis Rukeyser's Wall Street Week next week for my 90th birthday. And I'm going to tell him there's a 50-50 chance of the Dow being at 100,000 over the next 100 years. That's how he thought. I'm not expecting me or you to think like that. But what we have to think about is directionally, targeting. What's coming? Where are we going? Not in the next day. But where are we going? Right? Because that's what the important thing is directionally, not every day. But again, if you're talking about compounding money 3,000% since 1970, that took 0.03 per day that the market was open. That's all. 0.03% a day. That's how you compound money. That's how it works over the long haul. That's how it works. Long term, quality. We have to own quality because quality continues to stay in business. Quality is a balance sheet that survives big downturns, financial crisis, if you will. Quality is what pays dividends through crisis. Quality is not gambling with investments. Trends. We need to have money in front of those trends, right? The secular trends, not cyclical. Where are we going with technology, robotics, etc.? And finally, understanding that bull markets and bear markets are inevitable. Why try to time the markets? That's just silliness. It agitates us. It makes us bad investors. It really does. Bull and bears are inevitable. Absolutely certain to occur over and over again all the days of our lives. 19 bear markets and 19 bull markets in my lifetime. The average bear market is off 27%. The average bull market is up 74%. That works. But you can't avoid it. And if all you measure your wealth, your income, your however you think of your money, your power, everything, is in the day-to-day fluctuations, you will miss the fact that bull markets outweigh the bear markets every time and have your whole life to compound wealth quicker than anything else on the planet, so much so that nothing is close. Nothing is close. And then you'll play games. Or you'll get scared. Somebody will pitch you something. Probably an equity indexed annuity. Look, I'm going to say this. I don't like the way most annuities are sold. I will fight to get the laws changed in Idaho so that seniors are not targeted by misleading information about market participation without risk. It's not true. The caps are so low. Interest rates are so low. The commissions are so high. They can't work. They don't work. They will not work. But it's not just that. It's just people shutting down and not saying, I want to do this or do that. I don't do the market. I just don't like it. You know what? There's lots of things I don't like. I don't like to get up and exercise. Don't want to know about it. That's good for me? Come on. That's just silliness. These are things we need to know. In a world that creative destruction has made so much economic development for everybody, whether you're in the market or not, bull and bear markets are inevitable. And bear markets can feel bloody, feel awful, but only really when we measure from this artificial top bar for this temporary correction and then inevitably go back past that bar again. It's the way we think. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Our email address is dave@petzofinancial.net. We're going to take a quick break here for Fox News, and when we come back, let's take your calls. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, that's our number, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Bob. Bob, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please. Bob, are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead, please.
I can't hear you, Dave.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Not again. Can you hear me now?
Okay, I got you now.
Okay, perfect. There we go. Fire away.
So, Dave, I have a question on what's the relationship of supply and demand of a product to a company's stock price? I thought if there was a low supply and high demand, a stock price of a company that has their product would increase. I'm thinking of Micron.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Does Micron make a chip that isn't wanted as much? Why isn't their price of their stock skyrocketing with such a great demand on computer chips?
Right. Well, good question. First of all, it did have a big run last year, right? And so we have to digest those gains. But also, not just currently. The answer really lies in what does the market think about your chips going forward? Not today, going forward. Now, let me flip it over and give you an example, okay? Cruise lines are in zero demand right now, correct? And have been for over a year,
yeah.
Right? Zero demand. But their stock prices are off the lows. Why? Because people are anticipating demand going forward. Now, and that's most certainly true in airlines and all the other travel things. We're seeing more travel beginning. Reverse that, and you have on Micron, and I can't speak exactly why, because their outlook is great. They actually started a dividend. It looks really good going forward. But always, there are companies out there, including Apple, which kind of moved away from Intel, right? Because they're creating their own. And why wouldn't you with $100 billion in the bank, over $100 billion, that's earning zero, would you start creating other things like making your own chips so they're not in short supply? Will the Chinese get involved? Will they steal enough technology to open up their own fabs? Will they take over Taiwan? There's all of these concerns that are out there, and Micron is a global player. So that's the concern going on there. Is there great demand? Yes. That's why their profits are so good. But the concern is also that they're not pumping out enough to keep, if you will, satiate all of the needs out there. So everybody is ramping up and going to demand or develop more. So the idea is the next cycle, we may be building too many chips. Chip prices come down, and that's really what investors are trying to balance out right now. Yes, they're making a lot of money now. Yes, there's more demand than there for their product. But will the future look like that? Not to everybody.
Okay.
Because stocks are always moving in anticipation of what's coming. Not
how much of the future
happening.
Does it look at? How far in advance does it look?
Great question. Nobody really knows. I say, that looks 9 months ahead. It looks 6 months to 18 months. There's lots of different stupid numbers people put on it. It all depends. When we're coming out of the pandemic, it's looking way ahead, right? Because we were at a low. And then all of a sudden the market goes, no, this is not going to stop people forever. We're not going to stay closed forever. And so the market started to move, even though we stayed closed, right? So it was thinking out actually well over a year, even for that. Now, if you're a biotech company and you're in early stages, the market's thinking maybe 3-5 years out, hoping you can get through stage 1, 2, 3 trials, or nobody would invest, right? This is why we're all in such a hurry to hate Pfizer or Merck or whoever it is, the drug companies that just ought to give their drugs away, darn it. That's just not right. They should just give it all away, even though they're spending billions all the time on drugs that don't work, that zero out. And so that's, you know, that's just another way of looking at that. If you're in early stage, you're talking years away or nobody would invest a nickel with you. If you're talking about an existing company, a high-quality one, a Johnson & Johnson, a Pfizer, it's really just looking at currently, hey, in the next 6 months, a year, does the outlook look good? Are they going to raise their dividend again like they always do? All of those things are they still spending money on R&D? Are they moving forward? Are their patents close to coming off? Or are they getting some more drugs to replace those? That's more of an ongoing, shorter term, okay? So.
Yeah.
If hopefully that makes
sense.
Okay?
Yep. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
You got it. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. And our number is 580-KIDO. Jim, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dave. How's it going?
Good. Good. How are you?
Oh, fine. Thanks. Good. I just thought I'd verify that your phones are working.
No, thank you for verifying. That's good.
Nothing much to say except finally we agree on something. Neither one of us owns Starbucks.
So, all right. Well,
I mean, coffee is coffee, you know. Why pay $5 for it?
Well, $5 a day, 40 years, $1.1 million. Thanks for the setup, Jim. Appreciate it.
Anyway, you were talking about, you know, like 10 stocks. I don't know. I got over 100 stocks. But the thing is, you don't have to look at them that closely, right?
Right.
I mean, the first one... The first rule is if you buy a good company, right? Now, I'm pretty sure that Chevron is still in business. So you've got to rely to a large extent on the fact that, you know, you just don't have to look at them that closely unless something's catastrophic.
That's absolutely true. And I, because I'm on it all the time, you know, I'm violating that rule myself. I own a lot more than 10. I don't own 100. But the reality is I do that also because I'm investing in a different sector. And, hey, there it is on the screen. I can see what's going on. So it helps me overall.
I just get stuff, you know, for the fun of it, actually. I mean, I'm not sitting there wanting to make a whole bunch of money. You know, the money comes in via dividends or a bond matures or something. I've got money. Okay, what to buy?
Mm-hmm.
And buying something new, yeah, I'll buy one group, like 100 shares, but I'll never increase that, very seldom. So it's just the fun of whatever, my own mutual fund in my particular instance.
Right, exactly. So no, I
anyway.
Get that. Yep.
Well, take care.
Well, you have a great rest of the day, Jim. Thanks, and have a good one.
You too, bye-bye.
Bye. And our number is 580-KIDO. We need to take our final break. Give us a call. Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number. Time to take some calls if you want. 580-KIDO. All right, let's go to the phones. Terry, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Well, good morning, Professor. I'm glad to see we got tech for us.
I know. Isn't that great? We went back to the old technology that works.
Sometimes progress ain't progress.
That's right. Back to the rotary phone.
Yeah. Anyway, well, from last week, you were talking about medical advancements and all that. And I still come back to the aphorism I keep using, that 100 years ago, we'd be dead.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. We would be dead. But there would also be dying at a lot quicker pace. I love looking at that once in a while. I mean, you can maybe hear me ruffling for pages because you reminded me of something I'll talk about in a minute. But go ahead, Terry.
Basically, that was that. And the other thing I got cut off with last week is all the fuss and excitement come back to. Now, I'm not much of a religious fella, but the Bible's a good book for wisdom.
It sure
and
is.
come back to be still and know that I am your God.
Mm-hmm.
Relax. This is there. It's going to happen, so you might as well make the best of it and have fun while you're there.
It's very true. I like that a lot, and I like keeping that particular verse in mind because we all get fussed up about stuff. It's human nature. But we don't have to live with our own human nature. We need to stop and say that's wrong. You know, I'm finding myself all fussed up about fill in the blank, stuff I can't do anything about. So knock it off, right?
Yeah.
Why ruin the relationship with a person that's sitting across the table because my mind's somewhere else? Why not connect with my kids, you know, grandkids, whatever? Why not be there in the present instead of sitting around wondering what Biden's up to?
Yeah, I still go back to the late, great Dr. Wallace Pond out at the guard there. He said that there's something you can do about it and nothing to worry about, or nothing you can do about it and nothing to worry about.
Hmm. Yeah,
that was probably the best words I've ever heard from a psychologist.
Well, and they don't always have a lot of good words, for sure.
Yeah, so anyway, that's what I've got for y'all.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Terry. Have a good day.
Shoot 'em well.
Thank you.
Right.
Have
Bye.
A good day. Bye. And our number is 580-KIDO. Hey, if you have any comments or questions, I'd like to hear from you, honestly. We really do. We want to, both for content on our website, what works for you? What do you want to see there? For example, our YouTubes. What would be a YouTube you'd want to see? Yes, we're working on some for kids and things like that. They do take a lot of time. There's no doubt about that. They're not going to be there tomorrow, but we're going to get some there over time. But what would you like to see and hear? What questions do you want to dive into on the radio what could we do to help you think through things in a better way? We'd appreciate that. That's at PetsoFinancial.com. If you miss a show and you want to catch it, then we have our podcast there, too. It's there as well. We had a question earlier, and I don't think I quite gave it enough time because it's such a good question, and I want to come back to it. So basically, here, hang on one second. Let's just get the question up again like we had it, okay? Because that's an easy, easy thing to do, and we can just pull this up, and I can tell you exactly what Phil wanted to talk about. So how many positions should I have? How many positions is too many in a portfolio? What's the average number of stocks, bonds, ETFs, and funds do your clients have? It's a great question. And again, I think when we're talking about that, it's not a question of necessarily you can't have more than 10 stocks. Or you should only have five, or you need only five of this or that, right? Because there also are tax reasons that you're hanging on to things that appear to be doing okay, but you maybe aren't a buyer of right now. That would be you personally, because you also, you don't want to let the tax tail wag the dog, but you want to bring it into the equation. But on a normal basis for us, assuming somebody doesn't have Procter & Gamble from the 1970s example, and so we just are going to exclude that from even thinking about selling it at this point, right, because capital gains would be terrible. And if obviously their yield is like 100% per year with their dividend on what they paid for it. So it's not a terrible thing. But we're not buyers today. So can that one just kind of be excluded from the whole thought process? And the answer is yes, it can. And it should be. Because we do have to consider it. Now, if it's in an IRA, nobody cares. So it's probably something we want to think about really on a tax-sheltered versus a non-tax-sheltered. Because what I do, if I have stocks that I'm not buying more of, but I own, and I have, huge, huge gains in, I give them away. That's where my giving comes from. Because I give away the tax problem that way. Now, I don't give it to the charity because they don't pay taxes, right? But that's what I do. I'm not saying you need to do that, but a lot of people do that. And they do that with their IRAs when it comes to required minimum distributions. It's a perfect way to give away a tax problem. But beyond that, and if you have extensive ones, you need to be looking at, if there's a large amount there, a family foundation needs to be thought about, or charitable remainder trusts can be set up and move these assets into, and you actually get tax advantages and income. So it depends on what you're trying to do with the portfolio. But I think for by and large, people collect stocks and they don't get rid of them. And you should be trimming back. And it's not that you need to get rid of everything every time you have a bump. Again, that's not going to be anything you hear here. We want these stocks to be held for long term. But if you really, really want to own something else, sometimes the best thing to do is say, I got to get rid of something if I want to buy something more. Swap it out. So you're using your best idea and getting rid of your older ideas that are taking up space, taking up file space in your brain. But there isn't a circumstance where you can't be looking at, especially, like I said, in a non-tax sheltered account, where you're saying, is there anything wrong with continuing to own Apple? Maybe letting it run a little bit more, even though it's a little bigger part of the portfolio than 3%? I think so, right? I think so. I think it's okay. Maybe you might say, I don't really know that I want to buy a lot more right here, but I think I want to keep owning it here instead of paying taxes because I don't have a whole great idea. But at the same time, I want to move some money over to cybersecurity. So maybe dividends and stuff build up and you can go get another position. So I don't think there's a magic of saying, I can only own 10. It depends on the tax circumstances. Depends on what you're trying to do with a portfolio. If, in fact, you are drawing income, which is a huge part of what we do, you are having to trim these things all the time because they don't produce enough income. Many of the great companies out there don't pay any dividend or so little it really doesn't move the needle. I mean, can I own Google in an income portfolio? Yes, but you're going to have to sell some sometimes to generate the income that people want. And so everything is going to be dependent on what your goals are. I do think that people tend to collect too many stocks, ETFs, whatever, But the only way I know to be following the secular trends out there in a very positive way is to be thinking about what's going on in the world, and I need to have some money in front of those things. Again, robotics, cybersecurity, etc., Internet of Things. So we're collecting more positions in order to have money in front of that. Thank you again for joining us. I appreciate you all, and do let us know at petsofinancial.com if there's anything that you want to talk about. Have a great rest of the weekend. We'll talk to you live next week.